Welcome to the Awaken Podcast. At Awaken Church, we are passionate about wrestling with and being unraveled by the Christian scriptures. Ideally, we do this together around the table in the neighborhood of Bowness. As we see it, Jesus has invited all of us to encounter him in a diverse community and participate with him in a mission of loving our neighbors.
It was Sunday, March 15th, and I was giving a sermon about the land and exile. COVID was first beginning to enter our social consciousness. I think healthcare workers were much more conscious, and people like me were like, what? Like, we weren't even sure yet if it was called coronavirus or COVID-19. And I remember in my sermon, I was talking about seasons and cycles and listening to the land. And I made a comment. This was on March 15th, 2020. I said, the next time we gather, it won't be the winter, because March 15th is the last Sunday of the winter. And Dave King began chuckling from the back row. Perhaps his COVID consciousness was more awakened than mine. He said, it very well could be winter the next time we can gather together again, Nikayla. There was a nervous chuckle, a few eye rolls, and most of us had no imagination or comprehension that the COVID pandemic would keep us from gathering all the way into the next winter and perhaps even beyond. I thought the COVID thing would all be gone and dealt with before Easter. I don't think I had any idea how prophetic Dave's laughter would be. Before church ended that afternoon, Alberta was shut down, schools were canceled, and the last Sunday of the winter was the beginning of perhaps the longest winter of our lives. I laugh now when I think about it, and sometimes I cry. There's a quote by Robert Bly. He says, grief lies close to the roots of laughter. I'd laugh if I wasn't already crying is a phrase I've heard many times in the past few months. You're late, everything's gone wrong, you've spilled your breakfast on yourself, you're panicking, you're shouting at your kids, and you go outside and your car doesn't start. You'd laugh if you weren't crying. Your computer crashes when the term paper needs to be handed in. You'd laugh if you weren't crying. The kids are quiet for half an hour. You think it's lovely until you see, as you're about to say, okay, kids, time to go, that they've coated the dog in the diaper rash cream. You'd laugh if you weren't crying. Grief and laughter go hand in hand. Jesus says in the Beatitudes in Luke 6, blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. You see, the first time anybody laughs in Scripture, I don't know if you can imagine it, not Adam or Eve, not Cain or Abel, the first time anyone laughs in Scripture is when somebody laughs at God. And this is what I want to talk about. There's a PowerPoint, if it can pull up, and it has a story from Genesis 17, and then I'll read to you another section in Genesis 18 where another character laughs at God. It goes like this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us, and I will give you many, many descendants. Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, but me, my covenant is with you. You will be the ancestor of many nations. And because I have made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile. I will produce nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you and every generation as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' God after you. A few verses later, God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah. I will bless her. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations and kings of people will come from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He said to himself, "Can a 100-year-old man become a father? Or Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, have a child?" The first time anyone laughs in scripture, they fall on their face laughing at God. And in the next chapter, when Sarah hears of this ridiculous idea, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram," this would be about a year later, "at the oaks of Mamre. While he sat at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat, he looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bowed deeply. He said, 'Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread so you will feel stronger, and after that you may leave your servant and go on your way, since you have visited your servant.' They responded, 'Fine, do just as you've said.' And a few verses later, they said to him, 'Where is your wife Sarah?' He said, 'Right here in the tent.' Then one of the men said, 'I will definitely return to you this time next year. Then your wife Sarah will have a son.' Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were both very old, and Sarah was no longer menstruating. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, 'I am no longer to able to have children, and my husband's an old man.'" It's a laugh of despair. It's a laugh met closely with grief. It's a laugh that you could almost call a mocking laugh. It's a full-bellied cosmic no. I used to live in a community house called Sabbath House, and there was a woman from the Bahamas who had named Melissa and a young son, Raleigh, and she had this way of signaling to us that she was frustrated, and she would use laughter. Maybe she would come home after a long day's work and see somebody else's dishes covering in the counters, and she would just say really loudly, "Y'all got jokes." She'd see a big mess left from a bunch of popcorn that was eaten one night at a movie and say, "Y'all making me laugh." And she'd shake her head. Sometimes she would even throw her head back and laugh. "Y'all got jokes." Sometimes she would just laugh and laugh, this full belly laugh, and say, "You must think me a damn fool." I think Abraham and Sarah probably laughed this bohemian laugh. "Oh Lord, you got jokes." Laughter is a curious thing. There are many different types of laughter. I learned this week, if you compliment Megan Biggs too many times, she will show nervous laughter. I know from my childhood, a dad might laugh sheepishly in the moments between the passing of the gas and the passengers in the car smelling the past gas. And then that laughter that's sheepish as the children begin to claw at the windows, the laughter will roar into a maniacal laughter if the kids, often only made louder by the mother rolling her eyes and silently saying, "That's disgusting." There's a laughter that comes when we tug on the fabric of our social expectation. A laughter when the ladies at the women's retreat sneak off to skinny dip in the mountain lake. That's a laughter some might even call giggling. There's a slapstick laughter that erupts right before the skateboarder says, "Dude, check this out." There's a laughter mixed with concern when his trick doesn't go as planned. I remember a memory about 8 years ago. My little brother, Toby, would have been about 14, getting into longboarding, and he wanted to be a downhill racer. And so being this cool big sister, I bought him a longboard and a helmet, smart and cool. And we went to the Bow Valley Park by Cochrane, and there's this really big long hill that doesn't look that steep, unless you're standing on a piece of wood with four wheels. And I had Ember, she was a little baby, and she was sitting in her little chair on the bike, you know, bike chair. And so what happened was I rode the bike with Ember to the bottom of the hill and had a video camera, and Toby was gonna longboard like a cool dude down the hill really fast. And it went as you can imagine now, that apparently I didn't have the foresight to see, but I have it on video. He comes down, he's super cool, but then something happens that apparently is called speed wobbles, where it's wobble, 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 and then he just kind of like biffed it into the ditch, like there was tall grass in the side, and he's a tough kid. At that age, you can kind of bounce back up, but he was bleeding from his nose quite a bit, and he said he just kind of saw stars a bit, and he had a helmet on, and he was sort of on his hands and knees for a minute, just like, oh, giving his head a shake, and then he stood up and you know, dragging his pride and ego behind him, he walked back up the hill. And then he just sort of sat down and did not try to go down that hill again. But I think I ran up to see if he was okay, and then ran down to get the bike, and his skateboard had launched off in the bush somewhere. And by the time I gathered everything and I was walking back, there was an old couple that had walked up the path, examining the grass and the dirt and the blood, trying to decide if it was a coyote or an owl that had just tried to kill a small animal. It's like, nope, just a 14-year-old kid bleeding from the nose. There's an embarrassed laughter that comes. This is a true story. An embarrassed laughter that comes when your new husband on your honeymoon jumps into the river right below the Sunwapta Falls to retrieve the camera lens cap. And when he comes up from the water to the applause and relief of many onlookers, but to the dismay of his wife when everyone but him notices that the pants he was wearing, Thai fisherman pants, have twisted and opened to reveal parts of himself that pants are always supposed to cover. Embarrassed laughter. There's an embarrassed laughter when your three-year-old asks loudly from her bathroom stall at the busy shopping mall, "Mama, why do I always fart when I pee?" What about the laugh of a loving critique? Like the laugh of my grandfather when his 15-year-old granddaughter came over donning a new nose ring, and he just starts chuckling and telling stories about his farm animals who wear the same jewelry. A laugh can be critique. Dave King's laughter on March 15th was perhaps a laugh of critique. Don't be so sure, Nikayla. Abraham and Sarah's laugh is a laugh of critique, an extreme laugh of protest, of disbelief. Surely there's no greater disbelief than to laugh at God. And yet their laughter echoes across the pages of the Bible and is joined by another group of people who laughed at God. In Luke chapter 8, we find the next story where someone laughs at God. It goes like this. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the synagogue leader's house saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher any longer." When Jesus heard this, he responded, "Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting. She will be healed." When he came to the house, he didn't allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. They were all crying and mourning for her, but Jesus said, "Don't cry. She isn't dead. She's only sleeping." But they laughed at him because they knew she was dead. Humans have been laughing at God at the beginning of time. Have you ever been shopping and saw something you wanted? Then you looked at the price tag, and it was outrageously high, so you laughed and walked away. Yeah, right. Because hope is expensive. Yeah, right. Abraham's laugh, Sarah's laugh, joins in a great chorus with the laughter of the weeping folk standing outside Jairus' daughter's room. And that laugh keeps echoing across the ages and meets us here in this room, wearing masks, talking behind plexiglass, not allowed to sing, attempting to make connection with people watching on Zoom, daring to light an Advent candle of hope. Because we've chosen to risk hope. We risk hope. We can do without certainty and happiness, but not hope. We must have the stubbornness to be hopeful in the ruthless furnace of this world. I've heard it said this week, to make bad news the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. Sarah laughed at God with a Good Friday laugh. But sure enough, if you keep reading the Abraham story, when she held her son in her old arms a year later, she named him Laughter, saying, "All who hear of this will laugh with me." And so Sarah's Friday laugh is transformed into the laugh of an Easter Sunday. "God has given me laughter," she says, "and all who hear of it will laugh with me." G.K. Chesterton, if you don't know him, he's an old-timey Christian writer. He said once, "Laughter is the gigantic secret of the Christian." Hope is a laugh, piercing through a hardened hopelessness. Walter Brueggemann says, "Laughter is a biblical way of receiving something new that cannot be explained." Hope is a laughter that pierces through the hopelessness. Think of the laughter of a farmer when it finally starts to rain after a long dry season. Think of the laughter of Tom Hanks. I'm going to quote a classic Tom Hanks movie, Castaway. When he finally, after many hours, much frustration and bleeding hands, turns two twigs into a fire. With great laughter and dancing alone on an island in the middle of nowhere, he dances and dances. I have made fire. I have made fire. Maybe you've never seen one of my all-time favorite movies, The Gods Must Be Crazy. But if you have, you might recall the scene at the end when the father finally finds his young daughters. They laugh and they laugh and they laugh. They embrace and they roll and they laugh. Think of the laughter of Rafiki when a familiar scent comes on the wind. The laugh of Rafiki. Simba is alive? Simba is alive. This is the laugh that Sarah named her son after. The laughter of Easter Sunday. Can it be? And so here's an important point. Hope is not optimism. Optimism willfully ignores the danger and the risk. Sometimes optimism is good. Sometimes optimism causes us to take a chance. But hope is not optimism. Hope looks at the darkness. It looks it straight in the eye. It tells the truth about the darkness. And yet it dares to wait with anticipation for the light that comes. Hope dares to look at the darkness and laugh. Remember the old story of the child laughing, "Mama, why is the emperor naked?" Well, the emperor marched pompously through town in his great wardrobe that only the rich and intelligent would be able to see. There's a story, speaking of laughing at the naked emperor, of Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He is a social critic of the apartheid in South Africa. And there's this story, apparently it's a very famous story. I only heard it a few weeks ago for the first time, but it's that he was during the peak of the apartheid crisis in South Africa. Desmond Tutu got up to preach in a big cathedral, and the sanctuary was surrounded by security officers armed with machine guns. It was surely a dangerous and frightened space. And Tutu stood up at the pulpit and he looked around and he began to laugh. And slowly, the congregation began to laugh. And then the security guards with their big machine guns all began to laugh. It was the laughter of God in the church that day. The forces of this world would have us bound in hopelessness, duped into inaction, incapacitated by fear, undone by despair, overwhelmed by toxic onslaught, and confused by misinformation. I read that quote on a litanist Instagram account I follow, and I thought, yes, the forces of this world would have us bound in hopelessness, but God laughs at the forces of this world. In Psalm 2, verse 2, it says, "The kings of the earth rise up together, but the one enthroned in heaven laughs." In Psalm 37, 13, "The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming." Our God is a laughing God, even though God's people are often also laughing people. There's a poem by Stephen T. Berg. He's a guy I really like. If you ever come to Sunrise Prayer, he's the one that wrote the Lord's Prayer with edits. I often pray there. And Stephen T. Berg has this poem, and it goes like this. "In the daylight, God disappears, running here and there, contending with the desires of people, shaking with laughter, then weeping, which recalls to her this singular concern to keep dancing her crazy cosmic conga and coax all the broken circles back to love." God laughs because laughter opens us to anticipation. Laughter opens us to words like suppose, perhaps, I wonder, let's wait and see, Advent. And so it got me thinking this week, does Jesus laugh? There's no stories where it says Jesus laughed, but we know there must have been moments. We know he was cracking jokes. There must have been moments where Jesus erupted into laughter. if we know Jesus is the fullness incarnation of God, and God laughs, then Jesus laughed. Maybe it was when he turned the water into wine, and all the people at the wedding took a sip and said, boy, this is good wine. He laughed. Maybe he laughed in John chapter 5. There's a story of a man who had been disabled for 38 years sitting by the pool. And instead of just heal him, Jesus said, do you want to be healed? I imagine it asked with laughter because, of course, the answer is yes. And Jesus said, get up, walk. I picture someone approaching Jesus and saying, Jesus, can rich people go to heaven? And he cracks a joke. Yeah, when a camel can go through the eye of a needle. And everyone would have laughed. What about when someone approaches Jesus and says, who's in and who's out? How should we judge people? He cracks a joke. Maybe we should work on the log in your own eye before you get caught up in the speck in your brother's. Jesus' enemies called him a glutton and a drunkard because of the joy that he experienced in the presence of tax collectors and prostitutes. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a story that ends with him saying, there is joy before the angels of God when a sinner repents. God laughs. Jesus must have laughed. Proverbs 31. Some people in the room move in their seats with discomfort when you hear Proverbs 31, because it's the last section in the book of Proverbs, and there's the last half of Proverbs 31 is the wife of noble character. And I've gone, many of us have gone to Bible studies about how can a woman be like the wife of noble character. And the answer, I think, is quite simple, because the first verse says, a wife of noble character, where can we find such a woman? Ah, it's a rhetorical question. She's not out there. But there's a verse in that proverb about this wife, this woman of noble character, this perfect wife. And it says, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. And the more I've studied the scriptures and I've studied the New Testament, I remember that the church is the wife of noble character, the wife of Christ that laughs without fear of the future. The church laughs. There's a passage in Corinthians that says, it talks about how the cross of Christ is foolishness to the world. The church laughs with fear, without fear of the future, even as the church is being laughed at by the world. The church is the fool for Christ. You see, the church is not a hospice. It's not a place where you go and wait to die. The church is not a place of power. It's not a throne room. There's no Christendom here. The church is the old lady giggling to the shore of the mountain lake. The church is sometimes the skateboarder saying, check this out. The church is the child giggling, saying, look at those powerful presidents and prime ministers. Where are their clothes? The church is Desmond Tutu laughing at the men with machine guns. The church is 15 people in our Zoom family lighting a hope candle in November 2020. Maybe you laugh at God, a cosmic, yeah, right. Maybe you yourself have received a laughter from God. I got thinking about it. There's only one person at church whose name is actually Isaac, but I suspect there are many Isaacs in our church. You see, sorrow lies at the root of laughter. And so I think if Jesus was called a man of many sorrows, it would make sense that the man of sorrows would come laughing, hope in the flesh. Hope in the flesh. Maybe you laugh at God. Maybe you've received a laughter from God. And maybe you've laughed with God at all the forces of this world, these forces that would bind you in hopelessness. Maybe on this first Sunday of Advent, you can laugh with God into the dark. Maybe the world's cosmic yeah right could be met by God's. And so I pray, I hope that the candle of hope would be lit in you and that you would join in the laughter. One more story about Desmond Tutu. He's often called the Bishop of Laughter. It's part of his legacy. And so here's this story. On September 25th, 1977, this was 16 years before the apartheid's end, Desmond Tutu stood before a crowd of 15,000 people at the funeral of murdered Black consciousness leader Steve Biko in King Williamstown, South Africa, and declared that white rule was finished. Now, this is 16 years before apartheid actually ended, but he declared that day that white rule was finished. He said, "The powers of injustice, of oppression, of exploitation have done their worst, and they have lost." He thundered, 45 years old, Bishop of St. Mary and St. James in Lesotho. "They have lost," he said, "because they are immoral and wrong, and our God is a God of justice and liberation and goodness. Our cause must triumph because it is moral and just and right." Now, few could have known then that the unrest sweeping South Africa would be the beginning of the end of apartheid, but Tutu did. "That's the chief lesson I have learned," he said. "The texture of our universe is one where there is no question at all but that goodness and laughter and justice will prevail." And so in conclusion, I'm going to read to you a story from Luke chapter 1. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." Let's pray. And in conclusion, I will show you a video song. And then Amy will come and give the benediction. Let's pray. Laughing God, God who gives laughter, the God who turns our Good Friday laughter into an Easter Sunday laugh, give us a full-bellied laugh this week, I pray, as our laughter meets our sorrow and we light the candle of hope. Make us a church that laughs without fear of the future. Though this world would want to turn our attention toward the bad news, turn our eyes toward the gospel good news and the beautiful feet that comes carrying it this way. We know that you are coming, that you're always coming this way, that you've always been coming this way. And when you appear, sometimes we laugh in your face. But turn our laughter, I pray. Turn our laughter of doubt into a laughter of hope. Make this church the womb where your promised child leaps for joy. I pray that you would be born again, born anew in this neighborhood, in this community, in our lives. And I pray that you would give us the courage as a church to laugh. The courage and the hope to light a candle in a very dark time. Thank you for our family here in person and here on Zoom. I pray that the angels would laugh when they look at your church. They would laugh with joy at all the ways we are finding to stay connected together. Give us this new hope, I pray. Turn our eyes towards you this week. Make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.